Hey, it's Natalie here for GirlsGuideToGuns.com, and I am beyond thrilled and honored today to host one of my all-time favorite authors, the talented and prolific Brad Thor. Hey, Brad, thanks for taking the time out of your crazy schedule to chat with me.
Are you kidding me, Natalie? I love Girls Guide to Guns, and I'm thrilled to be here. Look at the phones already are lighting up here.
Well, I'm so, so appreciative. And, okay, so let's talk about your book. You've recently released your latest page-turner called The Athena Project, which is, of course, perfect for GirlsGuideToGuns.com. You've already hit the New York Times best sellers list, the top 10 bestsellers. And I don't think I've ever been so excited about a book. Seriously, it's so much fun to read.
Oh, well, you're very nice. This was a lot of fun to write this book. I've been wanting to do this for a few years now, to do a spin-off series. So what I did, I should start with this. The Athena Project was really hard to research because it's a thriller, but it's based on real-life women, high-level athletes that have been recruited to go into Delta Force. And this is happening. This is a very classified program, so there's little to no information about it out there. And I was able to get little bits and pieces here and there. But when I had heard about this, I said, this is a great concept for a new thriller. And sure enough, the response has been, I'm incredibly humbled by how wonderful the response has been on this book.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. So are you ruffling any feathers by releasing information about the program?
You know what? I try not to. I try not to. I don't put anything out there that's not supposed to be out there. You know, as of yet, I haven't had anybody kind of shake their fist at me and go, Thor, nobody knew about these women.
Yeah.
Because I did ask a couple of very well-placed people. I said, am I going to get anybody in trouble? Am I going to get myself in trouble doing this? And they said, no. They said, you know, you're not talking about operations. And, you know, it's just we've now doubled the amount of people that the bad guys are going to be paranoid about and looking over their shoulders. So if it keeps some of those chuckleheads on us, then good. I'm glad they know we got more people out there trying to hunt them down.
Yeah, well, I know national defense is definitely a priority of yours, so it's cool. It's cool to see what's going on and for you to give, you know, your average reader a little window into that world. It's something we don't get any glimpse of ever, so it's so fun and mysterious. I love it.
Well, it is nice, and I'll tell you, one of the neat pieces of email I get every once in a while is from an operator who says, listen, I'm not going to tell you who I am, but thank you. You give a voice to those of us who don't exist. Your books are a blast to read. You get it right. This is exactly what our lives are like, what we're facing, kind of assignments we're going on, the kind of weapons we're carrying, and thanks for doing your homework. And once again, thank you for giving those of us without a voice a voice. So that's kind of neat when you hear from people from the dark side like that. That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. It's beyond cool. That's an honor, you know?
Incredible honor.
Yeah, that's really cool. So speaking of weapons, you, in all of your books that I've read so far, you've got this LaRue tactical thing going on. Now,
yes, I do. Leander, Texas.
Right, that's right. And this Texas girl is a big, big fan of that. So do you have a relationship with the folks at LaRue, or, you know, is this what they actually use in the Special Forces?
Well, both. So that's the answer. It's kind of a chicken or the egg sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. I met Mark LaRue through friends of mine in the special operations community. And now Mark LaRue and his beautiful wife, Ellen, have become dear, dear friends of mine. Great people. And LaRue.com, the stuff that they make, and it's not just for, you know, for our military. They make it for citizens as well. They make some of the greatest tack driving equipment out there. It's just every single thing they touch. They're probably the best at what they do in the industry, bar none.
Wow, cool. Well, we'll definitely link to them. And I've looked them up just because of your books, really. Your books are amazing publicity for them. And I'm definitely looking forward to picking up a piece of my own soon.
Yeah, you can start with their tactical beverage entry tool, which is a couple of dollars to get bottle caps off of beer bottles and work your way up from there.
Cool.
That's nice. Well, something for every budget at LaRue.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect for the holidays. That's a great little gift.
Absolutely. And with every purchase, Mark puts in a bumper sticker that says, God bless our troops, especially our snipers, and a pocket constitution.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well, that is a patriot right there.
And yep, somebody, he's good people.
Yeah, definitely standing up for our Second Amendment rights, which we're huge fans of here at Girls Guide to Guns. Okay, so back to your book. Tell me, rather than me telling the audience about it, why don't you give the listeners a little a synopsis of it, if you don't mind?
No, happy to do so. So the Athena Project is about a team of four female Delta Force operatives who are tasked with taking down and bringing in, if possible, a black market Venetian arms dealer who was involved with a terrorist attack in Rome that killed over 20 Americans. And that sets the stage for the book, because their assignment gets complicated very quickly, and they discover there's a lot more to what the government has sent them to go do than they were told when they got sent to do it.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I love that scene, by the way. Without giving away too much, the details, like, only women could pull off the things that you outline in your story, you know? I mean, it's so much fun. Sorry, go ahead.
And that's the whole idea. That's why Delta Force brought women in. So in the real world, outside of fiction writing, the reason that they wanted to bring women in is because they knew women could go places and do things that men couldn't. Women, automatically, their beauty disqualifies them as a threat. And there's a lot of things. So it's not all, there is a very heavy component of kicking indoors and shooting bad guys in the head. Uh-huh. But there's also an intelligence gathering component to what they're doing where, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that, if I was sitting at a bar in Amman, Jordan, Muslim country at a bar might not be the time. I'm sitting at a cafe in Amman, Jordan. There's bars there.
Right.
But if there is a scientist, a government scientist there, or a government military technology developer, it's only so much he's going to tell me, even if I can get a bunch of cocktails in him. But if a beautiful woman sits down next to him, then all of a sudden guys, you know, their heads go to mush most of them. You put a good-looking woman next to a guy, and he's going to want to show off. Maybe he wants to brag about what he's doing. Maybe he wants to show her a piece of technology at his lab that he's working on. So in real life, this is actually going on. So you have this absolutely highly skilled tier one style operator that can go take it right to the bad guys with any array of weapons. And then you've also got kind of the other side of the coin with them, which is complete full-on kind of well-versed in espionage and the ability to gather intelligence. So they have this neat thing. I say in the book, because it's something that's been said about female operatives, is that you can give a woman a dog leash and let her go walk around somewhere as if she's looking for a dog, and you're going to get guys that want to help her. You get some muscle-bound guy with a short haircut to go do that, and people are going to be like, you didn't really lose a dog, did you?
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I know there was I think you said it in the book too, that, you know, a woman sitting in a car with a baby seat in the back can, you know, surveil a location a lot longer than two guys sitting there can.
Absolutely. You know, one of the other neat things that you can do with these female Delta operatives is instead of sending two muscle-bound, not muscle-bound, but I mean incredibly fit guys, because these guys in Delta are great men, and muscle-bound is pejorative, and I don't want to use that for these incredible patriots, but these great, really fit guys, you send two in and pose them as quote-unquote Christian mercenaries, well, that might raise a couple eyebrows. But if you take a male Delta operative and a female operator, and you put them together, and now all of a sudden they're a husband and wife missionary team, you know, it doesn't raise as many eyebrows. So it's really all the permutations. I said, this is just not just one book, it's a series, because there's so much fun stuff you can do with these incredible women.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I will get to that a little more later, but I am dying for the series. Cannot wait. And more, of course. But now, okay, so this novel is, it's a departure for you. You know, your first, actually, I believe, in your novels about Scott Harvath. And of course, thank goodness, Scott Harvath makes a little cameo in the book. But what was the impetus behind such a significant change for you?
Well, you know, I've wanted to do, I do a book a year, and it's a lot of work. Uh-huh. And I said to my publisher, I said, you know, I really would like to do this book about these Delta Force women. I think it could have broad appeal. This is a book that men and women alike are going to enjoy reading. And that's been the feedback that I've gotten in the short amount of time the book has been out. Men and women equally love the book. So I said, I want to do this. And they said, well, you know, you've got this steady, you know, what am I looking for? Dedicated fan base of people who love your Scott Harvath books. You can't take a year off and write this book and then come back 2 years from now with your next Scott Harvath. If you'd like to write a second one, if you think you can do two in a year, that'd be great. And that would be the way we'd want to do it, because we want to keep your loyal fans happy with getting their Scott Harbath book every summer. So that's why I decided to do this, because I thought, you know what, this might be an interesting kind of gateway drug for readers who haven't tried me before. I thought, okay, this is kind of fun. I'll start with a new series. And the other thing it lets me do is I get to play with some themes and things that you would not normally see in a Scott Harbath book. Like, there's some interesting conspiracy theory stuff in the Athena Project, and so that gets woven in. So it was kind of a, you know, I wanted to stay in the thriller genre as close to kind of the war on terror stuff as possible, and so this allowed me to do that, and it was a blast to do.
Yeah, well, it's equally a blast for your readers. I can assure you of that, but bless your heart, my gosh, it's basically as if you weren't, you know, you were kind of climbing like Kilimanjaro, you know, once a year, and now you're climbing it twice.
It has been a lot of work. I mean, writing one book a year is a big deal, and doing two, and I don't have a ghostwriter, I don't have a co-writer, it's 100% me. Mm-hmm. So it has been a lot of work, and, you know, and I wanted to see what the feedback from the marketplace was going to be, you know, to have people say, wow, you know, this is awesome. I mean, I made that joke with some friends of mine. I said, you know, 5 years from now, I could be sitting back going, you know, wow, I do this Athena thing full time. But what I'm seeing is that we've got a lot of crossover from the Scott Harbath books, and we're developing this new audience with Athena. And, you know, I've started the Athena for next year. I've started the new Scott Harbath. So I think we're going to keep this going on these parallel tracks because people love both series. So I would be silly to stop doing that now. There's so much fun to write. I really have made my vocation my vacation. So I don't think I could do three a year. I think that'd be too many books, but to keep the quality up and keep them as exciting and as interesting as they are, I think two is just the right number.
Well, it's super, you know, aggressive and ambitious for you, but you're knocking it out of the park without question. So, you know, on behalf of your readers, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I enjoy every Brad Thor novel, but this one in particular is special because, like you said, you've got four badass women, you know, at the center of the book, and you touched on it, but this is based in reality. The Army actually does recruit these women. So where are they recruiting them from?
High-end female athletic competitions. One of their favorite places to go and tap them on the shoulder is at the triathlon competitions in Hawaii. So I gotta tell you, I think it's a brilliant idea. Delta Force never rests on its laurels. They're always trying to stay one step ahead of the bad guys. They're always trying to improve their training. Not even trying, they're constantly improving their training. So this is really a natural, when you think about it, why shouldn't they be going after high-end athletes who are women saying, come on, you know, let's get you in the mix, and you can serve your country as well, doing some really exciting things. And when you think about the personality of a male Delta Force operative, somebody who will not quit no matter what, they will win at all costs. They're determined. They're competitive. You know, you find that just as equally in women and in female athletes. So this drive to be the best and to succeed and be the first one across the finish line, to be dedicated to your teammates. I mean, all the right mix is there. I'm actually surprised they didn't start this sooner.